And we're going to ask the Lord to guide us now as we look at his word. Now, Father, thank you for your great word. Thank you for how, even at communion time, we looked at those great verses from Isaiah chapter 50 and other parts of your word. And thank you for how we're so blessed to have this inspired truth given to us that we might know clearly who Jesus is and who you are and what you've done for us. We thank you for the gospel that we've been going through, the Luke's gospel. And we ask today, as we would always ask, that you would help us, your spirit would speak to us as we look at these words. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start off by asking you a question. What does it take for anybody, anyone, to become a genuine Christian? To become a person who is born again? To become a person who is saved and bound for heaven? And I'm going to say to you this word. For that to happen, it's a miracle. Do you hold to that? I sure do. It's a miracle. You can know all the facts about Jesus. You can tick all the boxes. But to cross that line, to be born again, is a miracle of God. A supernatural work that God does in our life so that, in my mind, the three C's have got to happen before I'm born again. Where I come to Jesus by faith, I call on him to save me, a sinner, and I commit my life to follow him. And that can't happen unless God moves in our heart. And this morning, I mentioned these things because we're going to see how this happens to Peter, also known as Simon Peter, or just Simon. And we're going to see this incredible miracle that occurs that really takes Peter right across the line, where he becomes a full follower of Jesus. Now, just to think about Peter, Peter actually came to meet Jesus earlier than the events we read in Luke 5. Do you remember how his brother Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist? And John the Baptist faithfully declared to his followers those great words when Jesus came on the scene. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew heard those words and he left John the Baptist and he followed Jesus. And he came to know that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one that God promised to send into the world to save us and to bring us back to God. So when Andrew became convinced that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the first thing we read of in John chapter 1 is that he found his brother. So let me read those words to you. Andrew, this is in John 1, 41 and 42. Andrew first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So what's his first encounter like? Well, Peter comes and meets Jesus and Jesus speaks to him first. And Jesus says to him, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. Peter means stone. So that he had a name change. What a first encounter with Jesus. What do you reckon? Having your name changed. What's going on? And let's just remember, because Peter's going to be the main focus in Luke chapter 5. Who is Peter? Peter is a fisherman. So a working class man, probably a rough man. Not a mighty, noble, learned, articulate man. Not a religious leader. Not a political leader. Not any kind of leader. And yet, how beautiful to know that Jesus would call him and make him one of his followers. Do you get encouraged by that? Do you love how God goes for the ordinary? We're ordinary. Come on, don't get over yourself. We are. We're quite ordinary. I love that. I love how God chooses us. So there's a great passage I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says in verses 26 and 27, "For consider your calling, brothers and sisters, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." That's what God's done. And I'm so glad he has. He hasn't looked for the cream of the people. He's looked towards all people, and especially the lowly, in order to bring salvation to them. And Peter was a fisherman on the beautiful lake known by two names, the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. And when, as soon as I mention that, I have all these beautiful pictures of the time when Colin and I were there in 2009. I thought I'd show you some photos. Here we go. Look at that. That is sunrise on the Sea of Galilee and in the town of Tiberias. Beautiful sunrise over the sea or the lake. There's an old boat you can hire and go on. You can see the mountains around the lake. Next one. Look at that. We had a beautiful day. That was from Bethsaida, looking at the lake. And there's another picture also showing how big it is. Stretches way, way into the distance. This is the very lake that Jesus did so many things around and on, walking on water. Thank you very much. And also, of course, this story involves this lake. Okay, so we're going to be seeing this morning, the title of the sermon is How a Fisherman Became a Follower of Christ. All right? So Jesus has already met Jesus a few times, but it hasn't happened yet, as we shall see. A miracle occurs to bring Peter right over the line. Okay? Are you right over the line? Hope you are. Hope you're not just on the line. You can't be on the line. You've got to jump right over the line. And that's where the miracle of God has to occur in your life to bring that about. So let's have a look at this beautiful story. I'm going to start off looking at Luke chapter 4, 42 to 44. So let me read this. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. Another gospel tells us he did that to pray on his own. Keep reading, it says, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So we've got a little description of Jesus is all into preaching. What does it say there? Preaching the kingdom of God. What is that? It's preaching the good news. Preaching the gospel. Preaching to us about how sinners like us can be saved. How we can come and enter the kingdom of God and be right with God. And Jesus was saying that this is through him, having faith in him. By repenting, he called people to repent and to turn to him, receive him. So this is what he was preaching. And we pick up here that he was going through the towns and cities of Galilee and Judea, and he's also going into the synagogues, a place of teaching, and is speaking to the people. And also, just think of Jesus. He's preaching like no man has ever heard preach. He preaches with such clarity, such power. And he's also doing spectacular, miraculous signs. And as a result, there's lots and lots of people who are surrounding him, pressing in around him to either be healed and or to hear his teaching. So that's the setting as we come into Luke chapter 5. So let me now read Luke chapter 5, 1 to 3. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little way from the shore or the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. So what do you think of that, eh? So we see here a few things. We see here Peter involved in the story. And we see here how crowds are pressing around Jesus. And it becomes so great, so many people surrounding him, that he decides to get into a boat and to go a little way from the shore in order to speak to the people without them all crowding him. And whose boat did he choose? Peter's boat. Simon Peter's boat. He got into his boat and went a little way from the shore. Now this event was some time after Peter had been introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. Also earlier on in chapter 4 we read that Jesus had come into Peter's house in Capernaum. This is happening in Capernaum. And healed his mother-in-law. She had a fever. And the thing I want to highlight to you here is, when I read verses 1 to 3, do you pick up what Peter is doing still? What's he doing? Verse 2 tells us he's washing the fishing nets. Verse 5 tells us that he was fishing all night. Do you notice something? He's already met Jesus. He's familiar with Jesus. But what's he doing? He's still a fisherman. He's still fishing. That's what he's doing. He's still doing his old job. So that's what's happening. So what do we make of all this? I want to make a point here. It seems that Peter is just a fisherman and not a follower of Christ. And I've got to say to you, that is such a common thing for all of us. What am I talking about? It's so easy to be familiar with Jesus. It's so easy to know about him. It's so easy to even come to church, even read the Bible and pray, and all those kind of things. Even act like a Christian. But you're not a follower of Christ yet. I can relate to that. I remember thinking I was a Christian for many years before God opened my eyes. A miracle occurred in my life where I crossed over and I realised what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, to that place where I could come to Jesus by faith and call on him to save me and commit my life to him. That hadn't happened to Peter yet. And this is a really important thing to realise. Because so many people can be in church and they're not there yet. They're like Peter, the fisherman, not Peter, the follower of Christ. I hope this you take this in, because some of us are not there yet, and sometimes we don't even realise it. Okay, that's a pretty big thing to mention. But let's have a look what happens to Peter, what causes him to cross over. So back to verses 1 to 3, one thing that I want to highlight is I love how Jesus intentionally got into Peter's boat. You notice that? Not any boat, in Peter's boat. And I love how Jesus does that. He intentionally engages with us. He did that while he walked this earth. But he also does that in our present time. He does that by his Spirit. The Lord Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but by his mighty Spirit, the Spirit comes and makes known to us Jesus and his truth. And it's a deliberate act of God. You would never become a Christian without it. And so look at this. Look at this deliberate intention by Jesus to confront, to be in the space of where Peter is. Okay, so that's happening. And now let me read to you verses 4 and 5. In Luke chapter 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And we read in verse 5, Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." All right, so now Peter is really being engaged by Jesus. He's just been told something by Jesus. A directive is given to him. Now, if you were Peter, you're a fisherman, right? Surely you would be thinking, this Jesus, he's not a fisherman. What does he know about fishing? What do you reckon? And also, I don't know if you know this, they normally fished in this lake, more in the shallows, not in the deep water. Jesus says deep water. Not only that, this lake has plenty of fish. What happened that night where he caught nothing? There's a miracle of God. God made sure he caught nothing for a purpose. Look at all the God things coming in. Peter doesn't even realise it yet. And then I love how Peter doesn't dismiss Jesus' words. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm not listening to you, you're not a fisherman." Or he doesn't walk away. He actually, what does he do? He listens and he does something that God loves, obeys. He obeys Jesus. And here's another thing I want to bring out. It's so important that we obey Jesus. So even if we're not a Christian, here is a command we should hear from Jesus. What's the command from Jesus? Even if we're not a Christian, seek me. Just do it. Seek the Lord. Get the Bible out. Read the Gospels. Seek the Lord. And what's the promise? You'll find him. You'll find him. And when you're a Christian, wow, we should be obeying him, because awesome things happen when we obey Jesus. You know, there's a lovely old hymn. Remember this hymn? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So great things are going to happen because Peter was going to obey Jesus. So let's find out what happens. And that's in verses 6 and 7. When they had done this, verse 6. When they had done this, that is, they obeyed Jesus, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their net began to break. So they signaled to their partners, that's John and James, in the other boat, for them to come as well and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Alright, this is the miracle. A miracle is just occurring right now. Peter would never have seen ever a catch like this. It is beyond compare. It is huge. Now, if I was Peter, I would be jumping for joy. This is the best catch I've ever had. This is fantastic. But you know what? His emotional response to this is very different to what we expect. So let's read the next bit. So that's in verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And I've got to go, wow! I'm not expecting that response. Why does Peter say that? Why did he say, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man"? Do you know why? Because in that moment of time, his eyes are open to realize who this Jesus is. He wasn't just a religious teacher. He wasn't just a mere man. The Messiah wasn't just a mere man. He realized instantly, because of that miracle, he knew it was a miracle of that catch of fish. He knew instantly that this Jesus is what? Divine. I am before a divine being. And he felt his smallness. And he felt his sinfulness. He felt his smallness because he's in the presence of the awesome God. That's who Jesus is. And he felt his sinfulness because he was in the presence of the holy and glorious Son of God. Wow. And this had to happen. This has to happen to us as well. Because we will never commit ourselves to Jesus, cross over that line, jump right over that line, until we understand who he is. And we understand our own sinfulness. And we also realize something else. Jesus is our Saviour. The one who wants to save us and put us right with God. The real Jesus is not some Santa Claus figure wanting to give us good gifts. He's not someone who wants to just make us healthy, wealthy and prosperous. He's not just someone who wants to bless your path and your plans. He's the King. He's the Son of God. And we are sinners, but he's a Saviour who came to save us. And all these things would have been going through Peter's mind. When I think about the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in heaven now. What does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." That's in John 6:44. And the Father draws us by the Holy Spirit working in our life, the Spirit of Jesus. And he does exactly what we see here was happening to Peter. We are convicted of our sin. We are convicted of the righteousness of Christ. We are convicted of the judgment of God and our need to get right. Praise God for his work. This is the great work of it. This is the miraculous work of God that brings us right over the line where we do those three C things. I come to Jesus by faith and I call on him to save me and I commit my life to follow him. That's how it's got to be. It's this big step, realizing who Jesus is, realizing who we are, that we need to be confronted by. And now let me read Luke chapter 5, 8 to 10. So after Peter sensed his sinfulness, what did Jesus do? We read here in Luke chapter 5, 8 to 10. I'm going to read verse 8 again. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Now these are the words I want you to listen to. And Jesus said to Simon, the one who said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Jesus said to him, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." What do you think of those words of Jesus? So Peter is feeling really unclean and dirty before the Son of God. He feels like, "I'm going to be in trouble. I'm in fear. He could strike me down." But Jesus says, "Do not fear." Why is that? Because Jesus loves sinners. He loves us. No, he doesn't like what we do, but he cares for us. His desire is not to strike us down, but to save us. That's so special, that. I'll never forget that change in my own life when I realised that Jesus is for me. He loves me. Even though the Holy Spirit's convicting me of my wrong, I couldn't get it out of my head, the fact that I am loved by Christ. He loves me still, no matter what I've done. That is such music to our soul. So beautiful to realise his love and grace to us. And then look at this. Jesus says to him, "From now on you'll be catching men." Because Jesus knows what's going to happen to Peter. But even in those words, "From now on you'll be catching men." Catching men means you're going to be going towards other people and bringing them to myself, bringing them to salvation. But if you think of these words in another sense, what Jesus is doing is he's inviting, welcoming Peter to join him, to be on his team. And that's just wonderful. That is grace. What grace in Jesus' words here, to invite Peter to join him, to come into the kingdom and to be a worker in the kingdom. It is grace, isn't it? Wow, Peter. Earlier on he said those words, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But now he's hearing from Jesus, "Don't fear. Come, follow me. Join me." Jesus invites him to come. This is such a moving passage, such a lovely passage. I hope it rings true in your own life. And then we read verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. That includes Peter. He left his fishing behind and he followed Jesus. This is when I believe he became a true follower of Christ. No longer just dabbling in Christianity, no longer just having an awareness of Jesus, but he's just jumped straight over the line and he's given himself completely to Jesus. Using those three C words again, he's come to Jesus, he's called on Jesus to save him, and he's committed his life to follow him. Now friends, I find in churches that there is so many people who go to church who never come to that place of commitment to Jesus. Yeah, you love hearing about Jesus. He died for sinners. You can be forgiven through him. But the deal is, we've got to give our life to him. And a miracle has to occur in our life to bring it about, just like in Peter's. Otherwise, we just constantly sit on the fence. We're constantly at the door of salvation, but never enter through. So we need the Spirit of God to convict us of our sin, our need for Jesus, and where we throw ourselves before him and give ourselves to him. That's what I see in this story. It's so important. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the moment in time where Peter's life changed. It changed for good, changed forever. Now I want to highlight another passage that brings this out. And that's in Matthew chapter 16. If you think about these words, it's what we're looking at here in this story. In Matthew chapter 16, 24 and 25, we read, "If anyone," this is Jesus' words, "if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." There it is. We have to come to that place where we turn our back to living for self, living for sin, and we turn away from that and we turn to Jesus wholeheartedly and give ourselves to him. Or another way Jesus put it, you want to hold on to your life? You want to live your life with Jesus like in the back seat? Nah, you're going to lose your life one day. You need to give your life to him. Whoever gives his life to Jesus will have eternal life, will find life, abundant life. That's his gift to us. I know in my heart that happened. I praise God for it. And it is miraculous. I would have just been caught up in churchianity otherwise and looked like a Christian. Sort of deceive people, deceive myself. I praise God for his miraculous work in my life. I hope you can relate to this. That caused me to bow before Jesus and give my life to him. I love this story. I love seeing how Peter came to this. And as we know, Peter became a wonderful disciple, an apostle of Christ. I challenge you all this morning to search your heart and to make sure that you truly are committed to Christ. You are committed to following him. You've turned your back on the world. You've turned your back on all these other things you can pursue. And you are pursuing Jesus. He's the number one in your life. And if you haven't done that yet, I'd love to talk to you after the service. And we're going to sing a song now. I'm thinking of an old hymn that sort of captures this. Shouldn't say old hymn, great hymn. It's the one, can anyone work it out? I have decided to follow Jesus. So let's sing this together. Before I close in prayer, I love it. In that verse 2, it made me think of a time when Peter was tested. All these people are turning their back on Jesus. Do you know that? It's in John chapter 6. All turning their back on Jesus. And then Jesus says to the disciples, you don't want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. How do you get to that conclusion? Because he encountered Jesus. He was encountered with his sin, with Jesus' saving grace, and he crossed that line like jumped right over. And that's how it's got to be. You can't just dabble your big toe in the water. You've got to throw yourself over. I hope you get the picture today. That's how it's got to be. Let me pray. Our Father, none of us would ever jump over that line were it not for you helping us understand that Jesus is a most welcoming and gracious Saviour. We don't have to fear him because he loves us and died for us. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who's also on that other side pushing us gently, sometimes strongly, over that line. We thank you for the incredible, miraculous work of your Spirit in our life, because we're not just sinners, we have a bias against you. We're proud. We are defiant. We push against you. And thank you for your amazing work in our life, for anyone who's truly saved to come across that line and to be born again. I can't help but say thank you so much for that patient and gracious work in our life. And it's our privilege, Lord, to pray for everyone, even people in our service today who don't know you yet, that they would experience this too. Lord, may we see and have the joy of seeing many people come over that line to be a follower of Christ. And Lord, I just want to pray now, mentioned earlier, with these ladies and also John Lagerway who've had falls. You know, Lord, on my heart, I feel for them. I pray for John, who hasn't got much time left, that you would comfort his soul and Jesus would be near him and he's in that hope in Christ. And please would you help Mary and Margaret and Fran as they recover from a falls. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.